Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where sales leaders teach you what's working for them and how you can build it yourself.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by our sales coaching and consulting services. Are you looking to create repeatable, scalable, and predictable revenue? We've helped thousands of companies grow their business with tailored expert advice backed by testing to ensure they establish the best practices that'll work for them. Head over to bit.ly/predictable revenue coaching to learn more. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. Today, we're going to be speaking to revenue leaders about their journey. It can be a really treacherous journey from Series A to B. There's a lot of pressure that you're feeling from all sides as a revenue leader in a business like that. But a particular pressure can come in the boardroom. And so today we're going to be talking about how to kind of overcome that pressure and really hold your own in that position. So I'm your host, Sarah Hicks. And today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting with an expert about how revenue leaders can thrive and own their seat at the board table. He's spent over 20 years in B2B tech sales, a decade of which has been in senior leadership roles with VC-backed SaaS scale-up. His focus has been the scaling journey from Series A to C, where he's held roles as VP Sales at Trussell, SVP Sales and Marketing at Bright Pearl, and Chief Commercial Officer at Good Lord. He's also the founding member and chairman of the London chapter of Pavilion, which is formerly known as the Revenue Collective. And he's a founding sales coach with the Sales Impact Academy, where he teaches the 7-week Managing the Complete Sales Cycle course. And finally, as the co-founder and CEO of ScaleWise, he's a passion for helping ambitious scale-ups accelerate growth in the right way. And that's exactly why we brought him on today. Tom Glasson, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Thanks, Sarah. What an intro. Wow. Thank you for that. Very kind. And yeah, pleasure to be here.
Cool. I'm really excited. Let's just give us kind of the high level overview of what pressures revenue leaders are facing in the boardroom these days.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think firstly, the point you touched on earlier about this treacherous journey from Series A to B, I think is a really important bit of context just to have in the back of our mind. And, you know, I think we are in a really interesting but quite perilous perhaps market cycle as it relates to startup fundraising, in particular kind of VC fundraising. And there's a couple of trends and data points that is probably worth just pointing out before we get into, you know, why it's so challenging and how we as both revenue leaders, but startups and CEOs more broadly should be thinking about tackling those challenges. So a couple of kind of key data points. The first relates to just the failure rate of VC-backed startups, which unfortunately is a lot higher now than it used to be. There's some research that was done by Dealroom that suggested that back in 2010, about a third of companies that raised a seed round went on to raise a Series A. But actually, over the last 10 years, this has now decreased steadily to the point where less than 20% are successful in raising a Series A now after raising a seed. And then I suppose compounding the issue is that of this 20% that do make it to an A round, only 50% of these then secure a Series B. So essentially what we're seeing is kind of 90% of companies are failing between seed in Series B, which, you know, in my opinion is kind of a complete travesty. It's a real shame that kind of the amount of capital that's kind of being wasted, but perhaps more importantly, the huge amount of innovation, you know, that hasn't reached its potential or you know, just the positive impact that you might see those companies have on markets or industries and kind of lives more broadly. So that's the kind of first, I think, trend that is creating pressure. The second trend, and there was some good research by Wing VC on this last year, is that the median seed financing round is now above 4 million. Now, that might not seem like a big figure, but when you realize that that's four times more than it was just a decade ago when it was only 1 million, you start to realize, you know, just these rounds are getting bigger and bigger. So a current seed is now like a 2010 Series A. But also the median Series A has been getting bigger and bigger too. So the past decade, you know, the average global Series A has increased from what was less than 6 million about 10 years ago to now more than 18 million in 2021, which is what Crunchbase suggests. So 2020 Series A is now like a 2010 Series B. So what does this all mean for startups and for revenue leaders? Well, with bigger check sizes come much higher expectations. But there's also, you know, I think just much fiercer competition in the market with so many companies, huge amounts of companies just raising money right now. And that have been over the last couple of years and perhaps kind of trying to sell to the same customers as well. So bigger expectation, higher pressure, more companies raising, more companies selling, possibly to the same customer persona. And so now more than ever, there's a real need to execute exceptionally well, especially as it relates to sales and marketing and just kind of go to market strategy more broadly. So that's some of the context. And this is such a big issue, we think, this kind of Series A to B journey, that last year we commissioned a report called How to Get from A to B with the Benefit of Hindsight, which we release in the next few weeks in April. And in that report, we over a period of about 4 months, we interviewed 100 VCs, revenue leaders, founders, really to try and surface their insights on how to navigate this A to B journey successfully. But you also supplemented that data, those interviews, with some quant research by surveying 2,000 revenue leaders from Pavilion as well. And so yeah, the report is big. It's about 100 pages long, but happy to pull out a couple of insights and themes, especially as it relates to sales leaders and how they can kind of hold their place in the boardroom, if that would be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think before we dive into that, I'm just curious to hear your take. We know that, you know, the revenue figures that are being, you know, raised in these rounds are that much higher, and you've got the data to kind of back that up. But what I'm curious about your take on is why it's grown.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things that have accelerated this. I think firstly, COVID was a big accelerant of realizing that tech, you know, was the answer to, in a lot of cases, it was the answer to this more remote world that we live in and kind of less in-person meetings and, you know, people in the office. So there, we saw it, money flooding into, you know, the public markets, you know, companies like Zoom and others that just boomed. And so there was, the COVID acceleration effect and tech being seen as the kind of answer was a big part of that. But I think a second part is actually just the amount of government money that's been printed over the last 2 or 3 years. If you think about, well, certainly in the UK, and I know in the US, that the level of money printing that's happening, what we call quantitative easing, has far eclipsed anything that's happened in the last 20 to 30 years previous. I don't have the numbers to hand, but it was very, very obvious that the way of governments trying to secure businesses and, you know, consumer finances through COVID was to print as much money and kind of give that out to various people. In the UK, it was about furlough, it was about bounce back loans. You know, I know there's a ton of stuff done in the US as well, but this effect of money printing, essentially, that money has to go somewhere. And often what it does is it goes into, you know, capital markets, it goes into the stock market. We saw a huge stock market bubble that kind of occurred through the course of last year. It's starting to kind of deflate a little bit now, I think, because of what's happening in unfortunately, in Russia and Ukraine. But this huge amount of money printing meant that there was just so much more capital to be deployed. And you know, VCs and PE firms and others, you know, saw tech as being the place to deploy it.
Cool. Okay, great. Well, yeah, let's dive into some of those highlights as they pertain to revenue leaders from that report that you commissioned. And I'm excited to read it when it comes out. We'll definitely have to let people know where to find it. But yeah, give us a
Absolutely.
Taste.
Yeah, I mean, the first insight was that measuring, managing, and demonstrating the right performance metrics is even more critical than ever at Series B. And the report basically suggests that 94% of founders and revenue leaders stated that it's absolutely not possible to achieve a Series B without the right metrics. And the VCs that we interviewed also backed this up by making the point that between Series A and B, there is in fact a huge leap required by startups in terms of the level of numerical sophistication that they have. Series B investors are essentially, they're looking at the model and the numbers at that point, much more than they are the team, which is, I suppose, a big difference compared to Series A. And if your numbers don't tell the right story, if you haven't got a handle on them, then there's often a big problem when it comes to raising that next round. But also many of the metrics that perhaps help the company raise its Series A, they also kind of become a little bit irrelevant as well. But despite all of that, despite the importance of metrics, our research suggested actually that companies are pretty sluggish in their adoption of a proper metrics-based approach to running the business between Series A and B. Now, there's some awesome posts out there about metrics, and you know, listeners to the podcast should definitely read A16Z's post. They've got a great post called 16 Startup Metrics. But in summary, our research suggests that there are five key questions that Series B investors are asking of the company, which need to be backed up with really strong metrics. And so I'm happy to talk through what these metrics are and you know, some typical benchmarks. But essentially, the five key questions that these Series B investors are asking are, firstly, does the company have strong product market fit? Of course, that's kind of number one. The second one is the company growing fast enough? Mm-hmm. The third is the company growing efficiently? The fourth is the company retaining and growing customers? And finally, probably the one that's closest to my heart is the company selling efficiently? And so I'm going to kind of go through each of these, and I can kind of give you some examples of the data points that really help to corroborate those five key questions as you're going into that fundraise. And we can also talk about maybe a little bit about how sales leaders in particular need to have a handle on these numbers, especially when they're going into the boardroom, some of the questions that they need to be thinking through and how they should be structuring the story that they're telling as well in the boardroom. So maybe if we just start with that first one, does the company have strong product market fit? Well, you know, this is really measured through the annual recurring revenue of that company. And I would actually just caveat this, that a lot of what I'm going to talk about is based on B2B SaaS. And it is going to vary based on, you know, business model, gross margins, to a degree, go-to-market strategy and sales motion. But I'm going to talk kind of more broadly, and maybe we can talk about some specifics if need be as well. So that average recurring revenue, you know, so really, you know, if you've managed to get to 5 million R, that's great. But if you're burning, let's say, 1 million or 2 million a month, this clearly isn't a good sign. It's quite possible that you may be spending aggressively to acquire customers who then are churning. And a Series B investor is just not going to be happy about that return on capital. Now, there's different ways of measuring capital efficiency, which we'll come on to in a moment. But at a top level, if the annual recurring revenue, the R to cash consumed ratio, for that lifetime of that company is greater than one, then that's a pretty good sign. So if you've maybe consumed 4 million in total cash to get to 5 million R, then the ratio is greater than one. So obviously, does the company have strong product market fit? It's all about what's the R. You know, is it they at 2 million, are they at 5 million? But importantly, how much has it cost them to get to that R? So that's the kind of first key question that Series B investors are asking. The second one is the company growing fast enough? And that's really measured through two metrics. So the first is, you know, what is the R growth? And this could be benchmarked against, you know, things like triple, triple, double, double, double. So the kind of good old T2, D3, or maybe other successful SaaS companies in that industry vertical or space. And, you know, granted, you know, most companies, a lot of startups don't kind of necessarily follow that T2, D3 to a T, but generally at the Series B, growth investors want to see that at least 1.5 to 2.5x year-on-year growth. That's kind of the bare minimum that they want to be seeing to really, you know, get them excited and to see a big valuation with a decent multiple. So 1.5 to 2.5x is the kind of growth rate. The second metric is what is the growth rate of the quarterly new logos or new R? So, you know, obviously investors generally like to see that new customer logos and R is accelerating quarter over quarter to show that the business has the potential to grow exponentially versus linearly if logo and new R is about flat. So we're looking for that acceleration of growth in both new R and logos as well. And then the third question they're asking is the company growing efficiently? And then the two metrics here really that companies need to be tracking are the growth accounting and quick ratio. And growth accounting is a way to break out R by month or quarter into new upsell, downsell, and churn, just to understand the health of a business's growth. And investors are generally looking for new and upsell to grow quarter over quarter, while churn and downsell may stay minimal. So that net R is increasing on a kind of absolute basis quarter over quarter. Now, again, if a flat net R quarter over quarter implies a company is growing linearly, and a growing net R quarter on quarter really implies that the company is growing exponentially. And this is, I suppose, closely linked to what we call net dollar retention, NDR, which I'm sure listeners know a lot about, which I'll come on to in a moment. So that's kind of growth accounting, is how is that new R and upsell growing relative to churn and downsell. And then the second metric is the quick ratio, which is a quick heuristic to assess whether new business is growing way faster than the loss of existing business. It's kind of calculated by dividing the new R plus the upsell in a given quarter by the churn and the downsell in that same quarter. And ideally, what you're looking for is that should be greater than 4. So you're adding new R and upsell 4 times more than you're losing churn and downsell within that quarter. So another interesting way of looking at is the company growing efficiently. Stop me, by the way, if you have any questions. I appreciate I'm throwing out a lot of stats, a lot of
data. No, it's good. It's good.
but this is the kind of detail that we got into the report, because what we realized is that a lot of companies at Series A stage don't have a handle on these numbers or don't know how to calculate them well enough. So this is why I think it's worth talking about. And then the fourth question is the company retaining and growing customers specifically? So, and this is measured through net dollar and gross logo retention, you know, generally via some sort of cohort analysis. So similar to the growth efficiency question a moment ago, you know, VCs are really interested in what are the underlying churn and retention looks like for the business, because, you know, companies with a higher churn are just going to go through way more capital to maintain that same growth rate, and this churn can obviously significantly hamper that overall growth. And obviously churn and a company's ability to be upsold, you know, that is very much dependent on who that company's end market is. So who are they selling into? So companies that sell into SMBs, perhaps with a low contract value and maybe limited seats, they're likely to experience more churn and less upsell than perhaps an enterprise software company selling large ACVs, you know, perhaps with the opportunity to sell more seats to perhaps other business functions. So benchmarks do very much depend on the customer segment, as I said, you know, the company and who they're selling to. But generally speaking, if you've got an NDR around 100%, then you're in a good place. 100 to 125% is great. But if you've got NDR over 125%, then Series B investors are going to be really interested in your business, assuming that the other metrics are looking good. You're going to get a really good multiple, some crazy multiples we're seeing at the moment for companies with NDR over 125. And then logo retention really needs to be anywhere between 75 to 90%, depending on the segment that you're selling into, as I said earlier. And then finally, the final question, the one that is probably closest to my heart is the company selling efficiently? Because, you know, we've seen countless companies at Series A mess this up. You know, I've even been in a couple myself, but we've supported them through ScaleWise. And what typically happens is that they raise a decent Series A, they commit to hitting some big growth goals over the coming year. You know, the money lands, and then they rapidly scale their sales team to meet those goals that they've kind of committed to. But they typically make a couple of big mistakes, especially we've seen first-time founders making these big mistakes. So firstly, what they do is they build a headcount-driven kind of top-down budget that assumes that if they hire 10 AEs, you know, each with a quota of 1 million, then surely they'll hit 10 million R in, you know, X amount of time. They just don't consider enough. They don't put enough emphasis on the inputs that need to go into the model to achieve this. They certainly don't plan well enough for things like rep hiring and ramp time and rep attrition and, you know, average quota attainment, all of these things that are really important inputs, as well as obviously things like the pipeline growth and demand generation, which kind of brings me on to the second point, which is the second big mistake is that they underinvest in demand and pipeline growth. They assume wrongly, I'm afraid, that reps can both create and close demand efficiently and consistently, you know, quarter over quarter, which just normally isn't possible. You know, the model that they create really needs to be a bottoms up, not a top down model. And then much more emphasis has to be placed on the qualified opportunities that need to be created to make a rep successful. And that may mean having perhaps a higher SDR to AE ratio than they envisaged, or investing maybe more heavily in digital marketing and demand gen. But whatever you do though, the two metrics to be focused on here in this kind of selling efficiently is the magic number and the CAC payback period. And Series B investors are looking for companies that can, I suppose, efficiently leverage the capital that they're going to be given to grow sustainable revenue and profits. They want essentially repeatable sales where the company is spending, you know, a reasonable amount to generate an additional dollar of incremental revenue. And a company with a magic number of one is essentially spending $1 in sales and marketing to generate an incremental annual recurring revenue of $1 in the next quarter. And then the inverse of the magic number is what we call the CAC payback period, which helps investors understand essentially how long it takes for a company to kind of recuperate the cost of acquiring a customer. And I won't go into detail about how they're calculated. There's plenty written online if you just type in CAC payback calculation. But these metrics, these two metrics, are absolutely critical to raising Series B. And I think as it relates to, you know, sales leaders and in the boardroom, you know, one of the big challenges that we see, especially people that are maybe first-time VPs of sales, you know, that are maybe in a Series A company, is they're very good at the kind of blocking and tackling, the coaching of reps, you know, the defining of a playbook, the improving of a sales process. But what they don't always have their handle on, which can stump them sometimes, both when they're in the planning process with their CEO or CFO, but also when they're in the boardroom, you know, talking about what they're planning to do and their go-to-market strategy and where they're going to be spending their time, is they don't have really a handle on these numbers well enough. And I think that's a real shame, because what it can lead to, and I've seen this actually fairly recently, is a VP sales signing up for a revenue plan or a number, you know, in 2022, where they really couldn't push back in the right areas, and they couldn't partner with, in this case, it was the CFO, in a way that enabled them to come up with a plan that was going to be achievable and realistic to hit. You know, they didn't understand exactly what the conversion rates through the funnel were, you know, what the average order value and sales cycle were for the different segments of customer that they were selling to. They didn't understand, you know, what the cost of acquisition was and how much they could be investing. Most importantly, they didn't understand how many leads or pipeline, amount of pipeline the reps would need to be successful, you know, both whilst they were ramping as new reps in the business, but also when they were fully ramped. And it's a lack of knowledge around some of those core metrics that we see a lot of first-time VPs of sales really get caught out on when they're in the boardroom, but also when they're planning, as I said.
Yeah. So what do you think the first step is for revenue leaders that are listening right now, whether they are, you know, an early stage VP or director who's kind of making that journey towards maybe even the Series A or the Series B, or even a later stage, maybe director or VP who's gotten away with not having a good handle on these things? Is it about going out and gaining that knowledge yourself? Are you hiring somebody like a RevOps person that can dig out that information for you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's two or three different ways of doing this. Obviously, if you've got someone in RevOps, which unfortunately Series A companies seem to hire too late, that was the other insight from our report, is really I think that RevOps should be hired pre-Series A. You know, that they're really going to help put the fundamentals in, the tech stack in, the KPIs, the dashboards to enable you to report on this stuff. In our research report, we were seeing that on average, people are hiring them kind of mid to late Series A. And that's, I think, a big mistake and a missed opportunity as well. And often at that that point, they're having to do a lot of unpicking of mm-hmm. things that have, you know, been built or stitched together in certain ways. So yeah, first thing is get RevOps in nice and early and get the support from them. The second thing is I think, you know, take it on yourself to learn what some of these data points are, what they mean, how to pull those insights out. I think one of the things that I did early in my VP sales career, which was a massive thing for me and I think stood me in a really good position, was I went out and learned, you know, Excel really well. So, you know, VLOOKUPs and, you know, pivot tables and all the things, so I could manipulate the data myself. And I really had a really good understanding of just numbers and how to think about the various levers that I could pull to improve things within the funnel. And then the third thing is get a mentor, get some help from someone that's been there and done it before. Don't try and necessarily figure this all out on your own. Something we do via my company ScaleWise is we've onboarded about 300 experienced revenue leaders and operators, and we essentially give our clients flexible access to people that they might need, and that could be by the hour, it could be by the day, or by the project. But we've got lots of great examples where, you know, an experienced VP of sales, normally still in a full-time role as well, but kind of, you know, helping out around their day job, has worked with a first-time VP of sales or a head of sales and really helped to fill in some of those gaps for them and teach them around some of the things that will make them A, way more credible in the boardroom, but B, way more effective at pulling those levers that can be pulled in the sales team to improve things like conversion rate and CAC and sales velocity. So yeah, they're the things that I would be doing. And then, you know, maybe listen to some of the great podcasts out there. You know, there's a ton of great podcasts that talk about these metrics. There's also great blog posts. I would go and be reading stuff by David Skok, who's a VC. He has a great For Entrepreneurs podcast, blog that you can read. He talks a lot of detail about some of these metrics. So there's plenty of places to go, but don't try and do it alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, great points. And actually, there's an episode on this very podcast that we did with Paul Fifield talking through the journey of building the business and kind of where you start to think about all these things as you're kind of approaching even that Series A, so that you're sort of setting yourself up for success. And I think that would be a wonderful layer as you're kind of, that's your first stop and this is your second to traverse the next difficult journey, which comes afterwards. Incredible. How interesting. I'm so excited to read this report. Where can people find it when it comes out? Where can we direct them?
So yeah, the report will be out probably the second week of April. If people want to get early access to it, they can just email me. It's tom@scalewise.com. Or you can head over to our website, scalewise.com. And if you just complete the form at the bottom of the page, give us your email address, we'll make sure that gets emailed out to you as well. And yeah, it's a meaty read, but as I say, we've got some great contributors in there, like serial revenue leaders that have had multiple, you know, journeys between Series A and B and beyond, and great VCs in there, and a bunch of founders and CEOs as well sharing their insights. So there's some really, really good stuff.
Cool. And if people want to learn more from you, if they want to follow you, where's the best place to do that?
Yeah, you can do that on LinkedIn. It's just / Tom Glasson with one S, nice and simple. I don't do Twitter so much or Instagram or Facebook. LinkedIn is my social of choice. So head over there and please do connect.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Tom, for joining us on this episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. Yeah, really, really interesting stuff. Some obviously incredibly insightful pieces that these revenue leaders need to keep in mind as they do traverse this treacherous journey between Series A and Series B. And those will give them the kind of strength and clout that they'll need to own their place in the boardroom. So yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome. It was great. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone for watching another episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button on YouTube so that you can be notified each week when we have wonderful guests like Tom Glasson joining us and sharing tactical tips and strategic advice for revenue leaders, sales leaders, leaders overall. We'll catch you next time.